You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Dr. Yes, I really would, but the feeling in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give you information, asking for help, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, and you are indeed listening to the Common Sense Show, where we are freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. This is Dave Hodges, your host, and we're glad to be with you in hour number two. We come to you live every Sunday evening at this time, and you're catching us in a variety of ways. The easiest way, when you describe to people, just tell them to go to the website and click on the Listen to Dave Live button. That's the easiest. But we're on a number of radio stations, TalkStream Live, Red State Talk Radio, iTunes, and, of course, our home base here is Global Star Radio Network. So a number of ways to catch the show. We encourage you to share this show, but we ask you to respect the copyright laws. Some people like to take my work and make money on it, and if you want a donation from me, just ask, okay? We do give to the poor. No need to steal. So, anyway, we're really happy to be with you. I'm glad to be back in the commander's seat here after a week away. It always feels good to get back home. I mean, there's great places to go and visit, but no place like home, as they say. We're brought to you this hour by Numana Foods, the very best in storable food companies. Find out why. Go to numana.com/Hodges, and for the listening audience, you can take 5% off the purchase price with the coupon code Hodges, NOV5. That's numana.com/Hodges. Also, you can remain anonymous. And I've been denied employment because of the work I do here, and I've had people tell me, we don't like what you do. We don't like your attitudes. We don't like conservative Christians. You guys suck. Okay? So if you have bosses like that, all you have to do is go to becandid.com. That's right, becandid.com, and join the Common Sense Show. And you can be anybody you want. You can be Marie Antoinette. You can be Bruce Jenner. Maybe not Bruce Jenner. But you can go there and post anything you want. It's a great site. It's so much fun. And there are people who are really clever. I mean, there's some of you out there who have picked up on this Be Candid idea. You should be on radio. I mean, some of you have some real talent with your cleverness, and you certainly need a YouTube channel. Although, well, we won't talk about that. One other sponsor we have for this hour. As we enter good times, any broker can make you money. Anyone with half a brain. But if the brakes go on the economy, and I'll tell you, what is it I just read that the big boys pulled about $8 billion out of the stock market? Oh, hold on to your wallets. Well, that's why you need an investor like Bob Kudla. And Bob Kudla is known. His reputation is based on the fact that he makes money for people, whether it's good times or bad times. He's got the formula. Check him out. TradeGenius.co. TradeGenius.co. Bob Kudla, good sound investments, good times and bad. TradeGenius.co. Well, 1 hour in the books, thanks to Joe Hagman of the Hagman & Hagman Report. Again, that can be heard here on Global Star Radio Network, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday. Thanks to Joe for an interesting discussion and identification of important facts. And Joe illustrated why the independent media is so important. And folks, you're going to hear me say this a lot, because the independent media is an endangered species. And there's going to come a time when some of you may have to step up and help save this industry, because we are under attack. But thanks to Joe, and this hour, wow, this hour, I'm fearful, hopeful, angry, and eager to get this word out through an expert like John Robertson. John Robertson's a former insider from Hollywood. He's seen life in Hollywood on the inside. We had him on 2 weeks ago. We could not do justice to the topics that were on people's mind. that they wanted John to cover and that he was covering. And so we asked him to come back, and he graciously accepted. And I'm going to bring John on and let him talk a little bit about his background to catch people up. And then we're going to jump into the down and dirty. John, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Well, Dave Hodges, thank you so much for inviting me back to the Common Sense Show. I'm pleased to be with you, and I, too, am eager, fearful, and hopeful. So let's rock and roll.
All right, let's do it. Well, let's catch people up. If they didn't catch the first broadcast, and you can link to that on our website or YouTube channel for the archive, but 2 weeks ago in hour number three with John, John, briefly just tell us, you know, what gives you the inside knowledge to come on here and talk knowledgeably about the controversial things we're going to touch on tonight?
Well, you know, Dave, the further that my 16 years experience in Hollywood, the further I view it in the rearview mirror, I believe the answer to that question may be a touch of madness. but in all seriousness, just by way of a quick introduction, for those of you folks out there who did not catch our broadcast 2 weeks ago, in hour three, my name is John Robertson. I am the producer of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We've been working with Doug and Joe Hagman at the Hagman and Hagman Report for a couple of years now, but we formalized our agreement to work together about 6 months ago. And prior to that, Dave, as you know, I spent 16 years in Hollywood in primarily feature film and television production, although I did work a substantial amount in commercial production as well as in the very early days music videos at the time. And just to give the listeners an idea, a general idea of what level I worked at, so to speak, I was blessed to move very quickly up the ladder in Hollywood. I started my career in the set decoration department. It's known as set deck, colloquially. I started as a set dresser, worked my way up to the on-set dresser, who was responsible for working one-on-one with the director and the director of photography to maintain set continuity as the shooting company proceeds through their day and works through their shooting schedule. I then graduated up to art direction and ultimately production designing, feature film and primarily feature film and network television, with some time spent in cable television as well. Just a quick rundown of shows that people would recognize. My feature film resume includes work for Steven Spielberg. I worked on Catch Me If You Can. I did a brief stint for Jerry Bruckheimer on the first Pirates of the Caribbean, The Black Pearl, for Disney. I worked on the first National Treasure. I've worked for Joel Silver. I've worked for J.J. Abrams. Spent 5 seasons on the huge ABC primetime show Alias, again, also for Disney. Other big TV shows, I worked on CSI, CSI Cyber, Brothers and Sisters, did 3 seasons on Pretty Little Liars. It was a big hot show at the time for ABC Family in production at Warner Brothers. But, Dave, I think where I'd like to start this evening, with your permission, is to really talk with the Common Sense Show listeners tonight about what the famous military strategist and general von Clausewitz called the seed corn of our society. And that, of course, Dave, would be our children.
Okay, I think that's a good place to begin, and it's one that concerns, I think, everyone in our audience.
And it does me as well. Interestingly, the first time I ever did a broadcast with Doug and Joe Hagman about 3 years ago, we started with examining what Hollywood is doing through its incredibly powerful controlled conditioning apparatus, and there are many of them, and how does it affect our children? Really, at the Hagman and Hagman Report, and I know, Dave, that you share in this sentiment as well, we are all about defending the defenseless. And, of course, our children are really the defenseless that we need to run interference for, and we need to protect them as much as we can. And, Dave, I have 2 concerns this evening, and this is going to land right smack dab in the middle of almost everyone's living room listening to us tonight. Folks, your kids are being conditioned with blatant satanic ritual and rite in many of the Disney films, as well as much of what the other companies, sort of the secondary and tertiary companies, are coming up with. I'm thinking primarily of DreamWorks right now. And your kids are being taught from the earliest age that they can possibly process this, folks, they're being taught that there is nothing more profound, nothing greater to aspire to than magic. And magic, the way Hollywood presents it in 2017, is a long way from sawing the lady in half or pulling a rabbit out of a hat. Magic, I would submit, Dave, the Hollywood projection of magic is really more magic with a K, the Aleister Crowley-esque magic, black magic, the dark arts. And my concern, I spent, in fact, when I broadcast with you 2 weeks ago, I did so from Portland, and I was visiting with family down there. I have a three-year-old niece, lovely little girl, and I paid close attention to what she is absorbing hours of every day. And I was stupefied, because first and foremost, the Disney films that have come out, especially the last 4 or 5 years, present blatant pagan rituals. I'm thinking of the film Moana, big Disney release, huge on DVD right now. And there are scenes in that film, Dave, that demonstrate specific demonic worship, pagan idolatry, again, the black arts. It's so specific, so profound, you would think the screenwriters adopted it directly out of Aleister Crowley's writings when he first developed the Ordo Templi Orientis, the OTO, which, by the way, folks, is one of the, to this day, largest cults in the entertainment industry in Hollywood, in New York, and in London. So you're sitting, and again, folks, I'm not here to criticize you, but I just want to perhaps help educate you, perhaps add a measure of discernment to the listeners tonight. What you're doing is you're placing your children in front of the television, whether it's Netflix, DVDs, or any of the hundreds of hours of kids' content that's available on all of the new platforms, Amazon, Hulu, Netflix, etc. And from an age where they will, from a very young age where they will not even recall when this conditioning began, they are being taught that it is normal to accept all quote unquote religions, to present themselves to blatant demonic influence. And what troubles me about it, Dave, is when you look at some of the classic Disney films like, you know, Peter Pan or Snow White, you know, the big films that were made in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, there was a touch of magic back then, but nothing like what we're seeing today. Films like Frozen demonstrate, as I said 2 weeks ago, human problems, the human condition, and present the solution being that of a humanist solution with absolutely no recognition of the Lord God Almighty. And, excuse me, as I said, films like Moana are blending into the plot seamlessly the concept of straight-up pagan idolatry and pagan worship. And Dave, of course we know, and Scripture tells us, Scripture's replete with admonishments against this. We are not to supplicate with demons. We are not to present ourselves to the forces of darkness. So folks, understand that as we look at the new generation coming up, what they're calling Generation Z, and Dave, I think it's interesting that back in the early 90s, the late 80s, when the term Generation X was first brought into our vernacular, I don't think anyone really plotted or perceived that we would then have the millennial generation and that the final generation, and folks, let me ask this question, is it the final generation, would in fact, just based on the lineage of the alphabet, be Generation Z? My concern is that little kids today are not in church. They're being taught that to exercise discernment is in fact discriminatory, and yet, Dave, when you and I were little kids, especially preschool age, you know, kindergarten age, discretion and discernment were attributes. Those were characteristics to aspire to, were they not?
No, absolutely, and you're right. Critical thinking has been all but eliminated.
Indeed it has. And what I want to really focus on tonight is how what's emanating from Hollywood and how is it affecting our kids. And of course, Dave, what we're seeing across the new media platforms is the preeminence now of the power and the authority, and I would submit spiritual power and authority, that's emanating from Silicon Valley with gaming and with the ever-present social media. You know, I think the average 2 or 3 year old now can navigate an iPad deftly, and I would suggest that parents really need to pay attention to what they're looking at there as well. But you know, as you look through these different kids programs, again, parents, grandparents, just take half an hour one night and surf through the kids content. All of the major cable carriers, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, they all have the kids channels or kid content. Look at how much of it revolves around the magic ring, the spell, the potion, the magic book. You open it, and that's where the entire world plays out. And that's when our main character is drawn into whatever plot devices are going to perpetuate the story. It is not healthy for our kids to be receiving, in many cases, hour after hour after hour of this conditioning. And at the same time, let's be honest with ourselves, folks. Are they in church? Do they know the story of Noah's Ark? Do they know the story of creation? Do they know who Adam and Eve are? How many kids, how many grandkids of all of the Common Sense Show listeners that are hearing us this evening can tell you all about Dora the Explorer, but they have no idea who Noah and his ark even were? And this is a great concern of mine. And then what we'll do, Dave, as we move through our conversation this evening, I am going to call upon some of my personal experiences to demonstrate something that I didn't realize, folks, until I left Hollywood. As a quick recap to 2 weeks ago, I left Hollywood in, not willingly, by the way, I was kicked out of Hollywood in September of 2015. I was working on a big primetime show at Universal. Folks, Universal is the film production appendage of the entire General Electric corporate tree. It's General Electric, Universal, NBC Television, Comcast Cable, and Focus Features is their independent production company. So I got in big trouble with the General Electric corporate lineage, so to speak. Why? Because I had done a couple of shows on the Hagman & Hagman Report and on Caravan to Midnight. And Dave, what upset them, what got me in the hot seat and ultimately got me on the blacklist, and folks, the blacklist most certainly exists, was I began to blast Hollywood because just like the Bible admonishes us against, just like the stories in the Bible of the Canaanites and the sacrifice to Moloch of young children, Dave, I will demonstrate this evening that Hollywood has not only created the conditioning products to normalize this type of behavior, but in fact participates in this type of behavior from time to time. I had a conversation 2 years ago out in the high desert out near Edwards Air Force Base up in the Lancaster area. It was a creepy night. I met a couple of guys I knew from the business for a big bonfire party up there, and I spoke to a witch. Creepy, very sad individual, this girl, Dave. She was a pill addict, a pain pill addict, and she couldn't get her medication, so she was sipping out of a pint of Jack Daniels while she spoke to me that night. And her business, what she did, was appeal to Satan for aspiring screenwriters to help them, I say help in finger quotes, get their work produced, to get them up off the ground, because everybody in Hollywood's got a script, and most writers feel like they're tossing those pages against a big, thick brick wall. This young lady, really sad soul, her job was to operate as an intercessor, to operate as a liaison between quote-unquote creatives and, ironically, the least creative being there is, the ultimate counterfeiter being Satan himself. She explained to me, and this is how I first began to unravel this, that there is a method, and Dave will cover this here shortly, whereby multi-generational witchcraft families, and folks, they're structured across our country just like the military, are in fact supplying the motion picture industry with infant sacrifice, with the butchery of babies as a blood offering to Satan, so that a $200 or $300 million feature film will go from the green light from the page to the stage and make everybody a ton of money.
So what happened after that? With you, you met this woman who's a witch, and she helps promote these people, and I understand that's kind of the mindset, mentality, anything to get ahead. So where does this lead us?
Well, you know, it's a good question, and let's start there. Scripture indicates to us that when we allow ourselves to give over to willful sin, that the Lord will then give us over to a reprobate mind. And it took me a while to figure this out, Dave, and I hate to say this about myself, but I think I may have, to a degree, been one of those reprobate minds, because I didn't have the discernment to see this until my last about 3 years in the business. And I was in the business for 16 years. So, yes, people will do whatever it takes to make it. And when we visited 2 weeks ago, we talked about the demonic brokerage. We talked about people's willingness to sell their souls. Some of the most obvious ones, of course, being Bob Dylan, Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, etc. How long do we have before break, Dave? I want to make sure
We're going right up until 58:50.
Oh, perfect.
About 30 minutes.
Okay, so we're looking good. Fantastic. Thank you. Okay, this is how it works. It starts with multi-generational witchcraft families. Many people listening to the show refer to them as the Illuminati. What I have been able to ascertain first person is that they do not call themselves the Illuminati. They refer to themselves as priests, as witches, and most often as initiates. When you hear the word initiate, folks, be very, very discerning. It is very likely that you have just entered into the realm of witchcraft to one degree or another. And you know, it's sad, but since late 2012, the gates of hell have literally been thrown open in Hollywood. And I will challenge the Common Sense Show listeners this evening. Just get on the internet and go back and look at the shows, both feature film and television, that were coming out of Hollywood in 2010. And then look at those same time slots in 2012 and early 2013. And you will see a distinct shift to the dark side. Now, Hollywood has always had a modicum of darkness, okay, that is inherent, unfortunately, to these incredibly creative people. And ultimately their willingness to do whatever it takes. That's always been there. It's been there since the quote-unquote golden era. But in late 2012, and I think, Dave, it may be directly relevant to 12/12/2012, because I was working for Disney at that time, and it was, I remember specifically, I was working on the show Ant Farm for the Disney Kids channel. Excuse me. And I was listening to Steve Quayle and Russ Dizdar on the Hagman and Hagman Report. I remember standing on the stage. I had one earbud in my ear listening to the show, and then I had an earpiece in my ear, which is how we communicate on the radios. And Russ Dizdar was explaining some of the different aspects of witchcraft that I really had no understanding of at all, and certainly couldn't apply this knowledge to what I was seeing day in and day out in Hollywood because I was ignorant. Dave, it was the very next day that whatever happened at Sandy Hook went down. So I would submit to the Common Sense Show listeners tonight that look at that December 12, 2012, not necessarily that date specifically, but that period of time for a massive shift where I believe that Hollywood finally ripped off the last layer of its mask and is now perfectly willing to show the world what it really does. You see, the thing about Satan is he cannot create. He's the ultimate counterfeiter. Scripture tells us this. And therefore, he never comes up with a new game. He just comes up with different spin on the same old game. He doesn't care how he brings you to misery and to confusion and death. He only cares that he get you there. Back to these Illuminati families, this multi-generational witchcraft. Dave, I'm sure you know this, but many of your listeners may not. Going all the way back to the founding of the country, really going back to the mid-17th century, there are family lineage in this country that brought over Druidism from the old country. And they planted it here, and they began to perpetuate their craft, their satanic rituals and rite here in what ultimately became the United States. These families still exist today, and they are 7, 8, 9, 10 generations deep here in the United States with very distinct traditions, very distinct infrastructure, very specific ways that they go about not only obtaining greater power from Satan, but also integrating themselves more deeply into pre-existing power structures. Now, folks, we don't have time to go into this evening, but I would encourage all the listeners to go back to Sunday, I guess it was the 12th, Hour 3. I talked about how Hollywood first got its name, and if you want even further information about that, just do a search of my name with the Hagmans or Caravan to Midnight. There's a lot of content on YouTube because I rolled this out in 2015. And I'll tell you, back then, it kept me awake at night. And to a degree, it still does. So these multi-generational practitioners of witchcraft, this is what they do, Dave. At age 12, and this what sickens me about this, and it ties directly into the whole pedo-gate child trafficking narrative that we've been dealing with since the election. What they do, the parents are in on this. Remember, it's multi-generational. When a young girl is 12 years old, couple months after her 12th birthday, she's removed from school, and they come up with all manner of excuses. Oh, we're moving to a different state, we're going to homeschool. They have all kinds of very slick excuses, and what's really troubling about this, Dave, is they have a whole power structure in place to help mitigate any questions or concerns that for example, the administration at this young lady's school might have. So they've got attorneys. They've got medical doctors. They have people who can dot the I's and cross the T's on the proper paperwork. All of a sudden, this young girl disappears, generally from sixth grade. Sometimes it's fifth grade. And you have to stop for a minute, folks, and put yourself in the mindset, as best we can anyway, of a 12-year-old, prepubescent, like I said, sixth grade, trying to figure out how being social works, how do you have friends? You know, this young lady might be kind of starting to get interested in boys, but all the boys seem so stupid. And, you know, 12, I mean, really still a really innocent age. And they will remove her from school and sequester her in the home. And I'm going to warn you right now, Common Sense Show listeners, if you are not armored up, okay, and I'm talking about the spiritual armor of God, if you're not ready for this, then you may not want to listen to this. Because I'll tell you, Dave, I've gone over this a few times at this point on some of these new media platforms, and it bothers me every single time. And I'll tell you one more thing before I go any further. I always have problems when I do this. I have every kind of weird blowback you can imagine. The last time I was on air with you, that night, I was stricken with a horrible migraine. I sliced my finger open the lock of a pocket knife failed and cut my finger open. And I burned a layer of skin off my thumb with a horrible steam burn in the kitchen that night. So every time I do these shows, bad, weird little things happen to me, and I really, honestly hate talking about it. Here's what goes down. The parents will utilize the pre-existing network. Let's say, for example, this young girl lives in Kansas City, okay? They will reach out to a high priest, to what we would call, colloquially, a warlock. And they will fly that person to the home of the young girl. Remember, she's been pulled out of school. She's sequestered in the home. She doesn't know what's going on. She's already been exposed to quite a bit of what we call SRA, satanic ritual abuse. And in some cases, folks, she's already undergone some of the procedures that I'm sure Dave and many of his guests in the past have described under the broad topic of MK Ultra, using sexual rape and molestation, as well as sometimes drugs, to begin to fracture a young, fragile personality. And what they do, folks, is they split these little kids. They seem to have a greater success rate with girls. They split their personalities because as they do these horrific things to these little kids, the little kids fall back into a psychological defense mechanism where they begin to create new identities to protect themselves from the horrific things that are being that are being acted upon them. Okay, it's really
John. Let me interrupt you for a second. Speak to you as a clinician. Please. What you're describing is the classic manner in which multiple personality, or actually the technical term is dissociative identity disorder, actually appears. And most of it is through ritualistic sexual abuse prior to the age of 8 years old.
I know.
But you're saying a couple things here. One, you're saying this happens after 8.
Yes.
And the reason we say before 8, John, is because this is where kids still invoke fantasy thinking, and those Hollywood, you know, Disney trees actually talk, and the animals have personalities. And they believe this stuff until they're about 7 or 8, and that allows them the ability to create other personalities to protect themselves from the harm they're going through. Now, you're saying this happens to these kids when they're about 12. I find that curious as a clinician. Can you talk a little bit about that process on how they cause the personality to split and bifurcate into different personalities?
Yeah, I'll just give it some cursory attention, and not to in any way, shape, or form short shrift the listeners tonight, but I'm sure you can understand, Dave, with your clinical background, that I really dislike going into gruesome detail on this stuff. But essentially what they do is they let me see how do I clean this up to say it on the Common Sense Show. What they do is they use sexual molestation. You know what, I'm just gonna call it what it is. They rape these kids, okay? Often they sodomize them. They force them to orally copulate on adults, primarily men. And what they do, Dave, is they will line up through their, again, this, understand, folks, it's crucial you get this. There is a pre-existing infrastructure of witches that is as finite and as definitive as the military. They even have ranks. And by the way, you can find this not only in scripture, but in many of the Helena Blavatsky, Aleister Crowley, Anton LaVey written work as well. So this is not a secret. And what they do, Dave, is they take, let's use the young girl as an example. They will parade a coterie of molesters across this young girl's world, across her little body. They'll violate her, and they never use the same person twice. This is important. They always use a different rapist, because ultimately, folks, what they intend to do at the end of the day is they will ultimately bring in a confidant. They'll bring in a single person who then doesn't rape this young child, because that's the person who's going to ultimately become the handler. That's the person. See, the child is desperate. They're frightened. And in some cases, at very young ages, and Dave, I'm sure you've heard of this, they will consider suicide at an age far younger than any quote-unquote regular child, because they've already been exposed in some cases to not only rape but to bloodletting and in some cases even cannibalism. And by the way, it's not an accident that here in late March of 2017, the number one film last week all across the country is all about cannibalism, and it cleaned up at Sundance last year. Folks, what's I don't want to get too far off track, but what's wrong with us? Why is it okay to go grab a tub of popcorn and a big old cup of Diet Coke and watch cannibalism at your local multiplex? I mean, Dave, what the hell is going on here? You know? So back to how they bifurcate these young personalities. They parade one molester after another into this young girl's world. She begins, as you said, Dave, to retreat into fantasy because it's the only place she can find. Remember, we're talking 8, 9, 10 years old and up to 12, and 12 is key, and we'll get back to that in a second. They have nowhere to go. They have no money. They don't understand the world. They certainly can't drive a car or go anywhere. So they retreat into their own minds. And then, this is when it gets insidious, then they bring in the handler, okay? The handler becomes the confidant. The handler, it's almost like good cop, bad cop. The bad cops are the series of rapists who have, and again, it's not just, I mean, rape is bad enough. It's not just copulation. It's not just sodomy. It's not just oral copulation, et cetera. It's animal dismemberment. It's bloodletting. It's cannibalism in some cases. I don't have firsthand knowledge of this from my time in Hollywood, but Dave, I have read some very compelling accounts of sexual molestation occurring simultaneous to consumption of human flesh. They freak these kids out to the point where if the kid knew how to end their own life at 8 or 9, they would in many cases do it. In comes the handler, the confidant, the quote-unquote good cop. and they're going to straighten everything out. They're going to make everything okay. Now, how does this whole baby breeder thing begin? In the case of the young girl I talked about a few moments ago who's been pulled from school at age 12, that handler, that confidant, has in many cases been flown in from another witchcraft family, from another actual geographic location in the country, and that person begins to copulate with this 12-year-old regularly until she conceives. They bring in a Wicca midwife who is very well versed in how to best capitalize on the first and second menstrual cycles of, as I said, a prepubescent, now pubescent young girl. Ultimately, she becomes pregnant. At that time, the stranger, and imagine the parents, imagine the sickness, the reprobate spirit of parents who would allow this to go on under the roof of their home. Folks, some of these people get up and go to work every day. You could be working with some of these people and you would never know it. Imagine how distorted you have to be, how rife with sin and darkness you have to be to allow a strange man into your home to do this to your daughter. But it gets worse. Because once that young girl, now she's turned 13. 13 is very important. And to be honest, Dave, I'm not really sure why. I just know that it is. This, now I'm going back to firsthand information, in part gleaned from my conversation in the high desert that night with the witch that I mentioned earlier. They then bring a child into the world. They have a midwife, a Wicca midwife, basically a witch midwife, who has been part of this young lady's life as she's carried the baby to term. And this is key. What is so important about bringing this baby into the world? This young kid, in many cases, hasn't been out of the house in anywhere from 9 months to about 12 months, maybe 13 months. When the baby is born, Dave, the midwife conducts the birth procedure, delivers the baby, and it's kept completely quiet. The authorities have no idea that this little life has been born. There are no immunization records. There's no birth certificate. There's no paper trail. Okay, let's hit pause there. Now I'll tell you folks about what I saw in Malibu. There is a place in Malibu. It looks like a stone cabin that was burned down at one point. So the stones are all still there, and they're charred. It's creepy. It's got kind of a medieval feel to it almost. They're like river rock. They're round cobblestones. And the roof and part of one of the walls was made of wood, and that part's burned down. So it's charred debris with sort of like river rock ruined edifice. And there's a dried up swimming pool in front that when I was there was full of weeds and poison oak. And this, I am told, is one of the places where the Luciferian Hollywood elite, and when I say Luciferian Hollywood elite, Dave, I'm not talking about actors who perhaps channel an evil spirit into them in order to create their work. And we've heard everybody from Denzel Washington to Oprah Winfrey to Robin Williams talk about letting it in, letting that thing in. And the Greeks, you know, referred to it as a muse. Folks, Satan's been at this a long time. Well, when I'm talking about the Luciferian elite, I am talking about the executive vice presidents of development. I'm talking about studio heads. I am talking about the liaisons between the studios and the international banks that finance everything the studios do. Remember, folks, people have asked me a lot over the years, well, how does the CIA tie in? How does the Federal Reserve, like the banking cartel, how does that tie in? Well, I'll tell you very simply how it ties in. An average feature film nowadays costs $30 million to make, and it costs another $30 million to market, and that's an average film. The big films are $300 million. Folks, that money does not come from Fox or Sony or Paramount or Universal. That money comes from the exact same bagmen that are taking care of the arms dealers and the big narco traffickers vis-a-vis the Clintons, Bushes, etc. Different topic, different show for another time. The international banks are the connection between the government intel agencies between the high priests of the Luciferian order that run things that we sometimes touch on, the Bilderbergs, Council of Rome, etc., these secret societies, all serve Lucifer. And you need, folks, if you don't understand what I'm talking about right now, you need to begin to educate yourselves on what being a Luciferian actually means. But if you're not prayed up, you probably want to just stay away from it, because you're messing with some very dangerous stuff. I'm messing with some very dangerous stuff. So back to what went down. I'm standing in Malibu. It's up on a hill. I'm not going to specify exactly where it's at, but if I wanted to, I could drive there right now. It is on the east side of Highway 1. It's not on the ocean side. It's on the mountain side. And what they do, Dave, is a couple times a year, they generally match it to either the winter solstice or the spring equinox. They will take one of these undocumented, finger quotes here, undocumented young babies. They have a statue of Moloch, that sort of three-eyed, kind of bovine, kind of owl-looking creature. You can see pictures of what the ancient Canaanites, how they represented Moloch. And what they do, Dave, is they fire this statue up to a white-hot temperature. Folks, it's like a... it's like a cast iron skillet that you leave on the flames until it's glowing. And then they perform a series of incantations, very similar to what the Canaanites engaged in. And this is where you've got to remember what I said a moment ago, folks. Satan is a counterfeiter, okay? It says, bear with me, Dave, I'm sorry, I wasn't planning on doing this on a phone. But I'm just going to read one piece of scripture because it's important. This is from 2 Chronicles chapter 28. And this is verses 2 and 3. They're talking about Ahaz, okay? And you folks can go back and read this in its entirety, and I suggest you do. And then I'll proceed with the story. 2 Chronicles, chapter 28, verse 2, again, talking about Ahaz. But he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. He even made metal images for the Baals, or the Baals. Some people pronounce it differently. I'll start again. But he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. He even made metal images for the Baals, and he made offerings in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burned his sons as an offering according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. Now I'm going to tie this all in. That place that I just told you about sits at the very edge of a valley in Malibu Canyon. If you look at what is happening economically to Hollywood right now, China is snapping up as much of Hollywood as they can get. You just heard the scripture that I read, okay? China has a huge exploding Christian population. I'm not trying to slam on China, but China has, for thousands of years, practiced pagan idolatry completely outside of Christianity, and it would be regarded as a nation of abomination unto the Lord. So I'm showing you where the money's at. The money for the last 2 years is coming from the Dalian Wang Corporation in China. They're snatching up everything they can get their hands on in Hollywood, most recently Lionsgate. These people are, on occasion, gathering in places like the one I just described. They heat up a statue of Moloch, just like the ancient Canaanites did. Back then, the Canaanites did this. What they would do is the priests would manage these huge chains, and they would open up the abdomen, this abdominal cavity of this about 30-foot-high statue of Moloch. They would heat it all day long to a white-hot temperature, and then they would begin, and all of the farmers and all of the tribesmen, all the Canaanites, would bring their firstborn, most often male child, to this white-hot statue, and they would begin to throw these children in to this statue to immolate, to burn alive to death. And then once the bodies had achieved a resinous glow, once the fat and the oils of the human bodies began to emanate and glow, they would then dance to the gods of the earth to bring forth a bountiful harvest. And I'm telling you right here and right now that in that canyon in Malibu, after the multi-generational witchcraft families have brought this breeder baby into existence in order to bring great wealth to a film project, they will in fact take this innocent child and they will throw it on this altar of Moloch, just as the Canaanites did, and then they praise Satan while it sizzles. And that's what they do. And that's what I'm here tonight to tell you.
Wow. That's,
and I'm sorry.
It's beyond depraved. It's not human. It's I guess the word is satanic. I guess that's our default position here. It's satanic, and it's, how prevalent is this? Do you have any numerical estimates, percentages, anything to give us an idea of the scope of the problem?
I think it happens a few times a year. To be perfectly frank with all the Common Sense Show listeners, I'm spitballing because, as you can imagine, and I mentioned this last time we visited, Dave. Folks, the government is not the most dangerous entity out there. The corporations are. You've got a lot better chance of getting smoked from GE than you do from the CIA. Okay? That's just reality. You cross these people, and that's why, Dave, that's why the pedo-gate thing brings so much heat on all of us. I'm telling you, at the Hagman & Hagman Report, we did not have the problems that we do today until I started running what we first called Pizzagate investigators, and once we figured out the global magnitude of it, the pedo-gate became the preferred nomenclature, going all the way back to, you know, Franklin cover-up, the Hampstead cover-up, and the list goes on and on. That's what's happening, I think, Dave. And I'm speculating right now. You're listening to somebody who did 16 years in Hollywood, and after I had some discernment that was given to me by the Holy Spirit, I started to figure this out. And I said this last time I was on the show. It made the last 18 months or so of being there straight up hell. It really did. I hated every day of it. And this is the deal, Dave. I am becoming convinced, as I bring these pedo-gate investigators on and I see the incredible blowback being levied. We had a lady on 3 weeks ago, Angela Warren's her name. She's a lovely person. She's been a great guest. We've had her on twice. She had 16,000 followers on Twitter, and she went by the handle Pizzagate Angela. She's one of the big, big noisemakers about the whole child trafficking issue. And she got suspended from Twitter. And I'll tell you, Jack Dorsey over there at Twitter, you start messing around with anything to do with what? With what? With defending the defenseless? With standing up and saying, look, I'm a decent American, a decent human being, and I don't appreciate the idea of kids being raped and or killed, sacrificed, this cannibalism. This is madness, folks. Hear me. This is madness. We have entered into the realm of madness. This isn't differences of political ideology or how should we spend tax dollars or even should we go to war or not. We're talking about defenseless human beings. And if we don't stand up, if I don't do my job here tonight, if Dave Hodges doesn't do his job tonight, then frankly, men and women, you're worthless. Something must be done about this. Dave, I'm sorry, I'm getting fired up. There are kids dealing with what I just described 10 minutes ago right now tonight. And I can bring on not one, not two. I can get into my Hagman & Hagman Rolodex, and I can bring you half a dozen people who have experienced this firsthand. I'm talking about Russ Dizdar. I'm talking about Doc Marquis. I'm talking about Pastor John Kyle. And the list goes on and on. Okay, this is not some sort of a plot for the next film coming out that's going to be super creepy, folks. This is what's going down. And it got exposed when WikiLeaks dumped 650,000 emails that pointed to John and Tony Podesta as potential pedophiles, and even worse, and it's hard to imagine something worse, not only pedophiles, but potential, and I say potential, sacrificers of these young lives. And Dave, if you've read any of the content of that data dump, those emails are very passe. I mean, you'd think they were talking about the weather. And it has incensed millions of Americans across the political aisle. But I feel like what you said with Joe in hour one, I just don't feel like anybody's doing anything about it, to be honest with you. And like your thing says at the beginning of the show, I am mad as hell because I feel like there's something wrong with many of our listeners, and folks, I'm not trying to slam on you here, but there is something wrong. This is not infotainment. We don't design these shows for your listening enjoyment. We're doing this and, frankly, putting our butts on the line big time because we can't stand by and allow these types of things to go on. Because you know why? I don't care whether you voted for Hillary or Trump. I don't care whether you're a big tax and spend person or a gun-toting libertarian. We as decent human beings cannot allow this type of stuff to happen to kids, period.
You're getting no argument from me on this, and I agree. I've gotten, since I've looked at Pedogate, as I think Doug likes to call it now, as I've looked at this, the blowback against me and my broadcasts have been incredible. The podcasts are interfered with 90% of the time. Like I said, I'm in trouble with YouTube for God knows what. I'm in trouble with Facebook for God knows what. It's just, you're right. When you step onto the balcony and start shouting out to the people, our kids are in danger, the forces that are endangering our kids are coming right back after us.
You know, Dave, I have two. I know we're reaching the top of the hour here. I have two things to say, and they're both quick. Number one, if you're hearing my voice tonight, whether you believe in God or not, I've got news for you, brothers and sisters. You are going to meet him, okay? Because in the end, he gets the final say. And even for those of you who are saved and sanctified under the blood of Christ, you will sit before the seat of Christ, and you will give an accounting. And if you're aware of these things, and you're not excuse me, and you're not mad, sorry, Dave, I almost made a major slip-up, and you're not angry, then at this point, you're impotent, and you're not helping us whatsoever. The second thing I want to say is, while I was speaking to you just now, I just got an alert from YouTube, and this is what it says. This came in while I was doing this show with you right now. Jason A. just uploaded a video, quote, Tim Allen exposes the Illuminati in Hollywood 2017. And that just hit my phone while I was talking.
Wow. I'm going to definitely be on that a little over an hour
just
from now.
Give me a quick sec. Let me read that for the listeners one more time.
We've got about a minute left.
Okay, this alert came just while I was talking to you about the baby breeder issue. YouTube, Jason A. just uploaded a video, Tim Allen exposes the Illuminati in Hollywood 2017. That hit us in real time during our hour together. Dave, I love joining you on the show. I would be happy to support you in any way and at any time. I'm sorry I got fired up tonight. I wasn't planning on it, but I got angry, man.
It's hard not to get angry. And I tried to stay out of your way because we have way more material. We're going to do this again in April if you're willing.
I am.
There's just too much going on here. We need to fully expose this. Man, oh man, my head is spinning. And sometimes the best interviews we do in radio is when we just shut up and get out of the way, and I think you just heard an hour of that.
Bless you, Dave. Thank you.
John, God bless you for having the courage to come forward with this, and continued good luck with the Hagmann Report, the best radio show out there. We got to scoot, my friend. We'll be back, everybody, in hour number three. John Robertson, amazing stuff. See you after the break.
Stay strong, people. God bless.